Last Wednesday, we took a look at this about that there is a reward. There is a reward, and our reward is with the Lord. And there in the in Matthew 19, over into Matthew 20, we took a look about that. That what we see there from the scriptures, and I think it's an excellent thing. The Lord dealing with the disciples, our brethren there. Peter has asked this question, we've forsaken all, unlike the rich young ruler, what shall we have? And we've forsaken all and followed thee, what shall we have therefore? And so the Lord explains to us that leaving the reward with him is the best thing we can do. Don't make a deal with God. Don't challenge God about what we're going to get for what we give up for him in this life. We just leave that with him. As we were coming to in the beginning of the services and thinking about the message tonight and our subject again tonight, we need to know. We need to know that the salvation of sinners made the children of God is a gracious, a most bountiful blessing in and of itself. And if you will, everything else on top of it is great and beyond measure. Just being rescued alone and being made a child of God, it's a blessing that nothing can compare with. It is so great and so bountiful. A price cannot be put on it, as I mentioned last time and challenged us to think in those terms. A price cannot be put on it, and it can compare. There is nothing to which we can compare it, just being made a child. Then everything else is like the graciousness, the goodness of God is beyond price and beyond measure unto us. And so maybe we a thankful people, may we rejoice in that continually, and may we learn and hear what the Lord says to us about the reward that he does have for his children. A reward for working, a reward for being obedient, a reward for eschewing and staying away from evil, a reward for keeping ourselves spotless from the world and obedient and representative in a good way of our Savior and our Father and God. And so we took a look at last time in Matthew 19 and 20, also in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and also passages over in Luke that spoke about our reward. And the reference there that the Lord said there's a reward in heaven, our reward in heaven. And made mention about this, we've kind of been in search of, you know, when is, we asked a sideline question, when is the judgment seat of Christ? Is it a one-time event for all, or is it an individual event? We know that we will individually stand before the Lord in that judgment seat of Christ. And for you and me, for the saints that have gone before, this is the time that they find themselves in heaven. And if you and I would die tonight, being saved, being one of the Lord's children, we would go to heaven to be with the Lord. And that is where our reward is. And then in Revelation 19, we'll come back with our Lord. Whether we've been in heaven for many years of the continuing on of this world, or whether we're caught up in the rapture to be in heaven, if you will, more of a shorter time, we will all pass through heaven on the way back to the millennial reign. And so the reward is there in heaven. Let's go on back to that Sermon on the Mount and take a look at some things here, and then on to some other passages too in the Gospels about reward, what the Lord says about reward for his children. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. This is giving for the sake of helping the poor, those that are in need. Tithes, offerings for the sake of the ministry and work of the Lord. And then there's this of alms that are at hand. The free will giving also in the ministry of the Lord is at hand. We have that from time to time, a free will offering for a cause. Sometimes it may be alms, sometimes it might be something else. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. secret alms are rewarded by the Father, aren't they? Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, whether it be our own mouth, or whether it be like sometimes we see in Vacation Bible School. Without fail, there's always one of the VBSers that likes to hit that metal bucket that we have with every single one of their nickels. Chunk, 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 chunk. They like to do that. There's always that there. And historically, it's said that the collection vessel of this was that way. It was like a brazen type of vessel, like a trumpet flared, and anybody that wanted to be heard dropped it in individually. Made sure they hit the rim before it went on into the vessel. That's just a historic point that's made. Do not sound a trumpet before thee. Don't go before and say, I'm going to give some. Look and see how much it is. Okay? Don't do that. Don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. There were those that did so, and in the streets, that they may have glory of men, praise of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have a reward. It's short-sighted, isn't it? The praise of their peers, the praise of others, and that's it. That's the praise that they have. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Can you do that? Well, he says, try. Don't let it be known. Don't tell it. Don't tell it to anybody. He says, if you're putting it in with your right hand, don't even let your left hand know what's going on. Interesting how the Lord would say that. Putting it in with your left hand, don't let your right hand know what's going on. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. We see and we embark on this regarding rewards is that there is an element, an aspect of the Lord blessing with rewards even in this life. Defined openly. It could be well in this life. The blessing of the Lord upon an individual, upon a child that has conviction from the Lord about helping, about giving, about doing, about giving of self for the sake of the Lord and his ministry. The subject is alms, but it would apply across the board to all and any kind of giving, from the monetary to the physical to the giving of self. We're talking and preaching about worship and service now on the morning services on Sunday. Service is the giving of self, namely, our service for the Lord. He says, the Father which seeth in secret, he knows what's being given. He knows the motive for which it's given. And he knows what is given, and he shall reward thee openly. There is that aspect of open reward of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, everything that's done in the end will not be done in secret, will it? It'll be done openly. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The sins of the wicked and the way of the world, and that's going to be made known public in the world. It's going to be a public declaration of what the truth is. I'm convicted and convinced of that. The service of the children of God at the judgment seat of Christ will be made public before the saints. And isn't that interesting? That if in fact the judgment seat of Christ, well, the judgment seat of Christ, whether it's one gathering or an individual judgment before the Lord when we arrive there in heaven, it's going to be kept within the family. Amen? It's not the world's business, but it's going to be kept within the family. The angels will be there. Now, they're not family, but they're in the Lord's house. They're in the Father's house. The saints that are there, they're of the family, are they not? And so it's kept within the family, and that'll be bad enough. But it's not before the world. But the world's judgment and the unbeliever's judgment and the unrepentant's judgment will be before all, because the saints will be there and they will be there. Interesting thought and understanding that we can have about that. Reward thee openly. Here, and there. And so the Lord indicates in here that indeed there is a reward, even for the giving of alms. And we need to do so in secret. You know what that takes? It takes faith. Faith to obey the Lord that I need to give. I need to give for this cause, to be in tune with the Lord and have understanding of the leadership of the Lord. And with whatever an individual's been blessed with, and in that blessing that the Lord has blessed the individual child with, within that scope, within that ability to give as their father would have, our Father would have us to give, and that He'll take care of it. Not that we don't need praise of one another. We don't need praise of the church. We don't need praise of our peers. We don't need the praise of our family. We have faith that the Lord has convicted us to do this, and we'll do this. We'll do this, our part, and leave it with Him, and it'll be good. It won't be grievous. It'll be good. It takes faith. It takes faith. I just don't know if I can give that much. Have you ever said that to yourself? I don't know. Have a thought, maybe. I just don't know if I can. Have that wrangling within. Don't answer that. You can just deal with that, you and yourself, before the Lord. The leadership of the Lord come along and said, I don't know if I can go there. May the Lord help us that we be obedient to Him. It takes faith when the Lord convicts us. Do we want to be convicted about what the Lord wants to do us, even in these matters that are in secret? It takes faith to say, I can leave this with the Lord for a lifetime, and He'll bless it and take care of it. It takes faith. Faith in Him. Not faith in self, but faith in Him. We come on down here in this same chapter. Verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, clean up, and wash thy face. Anoint thine head, put on some Brillo cream. Do you ever wear Brillo cream? You remember Brillo cream, Brother Mark? Did your parents ever make you wear that? Brill cream. Brillo. That's a Brillo pad, right? That's what you need to get the Brill cream off. Yeah, when I was little, I had to wear Brill cream. And may I plaster that all down? I'm kind of plastered down tonight. It's not Brill cream. Brillo. Oh, man. It's neat getting older. He says, go ahead and put on that Brill cream, anoint thine head, and wash thy face. You're fasting. There's a need, personal need, family need, church need in our context, brother and sister in Christ need of a sinner that needs to be saved. And there's fasting, praying. Fasting is always associated with petitioning the Lord, denying of self. And when those hunger pains come around, we're reminded we need to go to the Lord for that thing that we're fasting about. That's what's going on. We're making this point before the Lord that we have a desire of our heart, that we need Him. We're begging Him to work in this case. And don't show off with it. Don't let anybody know. Make sure, doll up and get fixed up so nobody knows. You know, it takes faith. I really don't know if he really sees all that. I tell you what, child of God, need to get straightened up, not the thinking of this world, not the thinking of this flesh, but the thinking of the way of the Lord Jesus, the way of God. When thou fastest, anoint thine head, he says, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. Takes faith to worship, to serve the Lord in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And we've talked about already that open reward. I love this and speaks, and we've mentioned it many times, about the economy of our Lord, found in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 41. Yet our Lord Jesus here speaking to the disciples. He's chosen the 12. He's sending them out. He's commissioning them and what he is giving them to do in particular in that day. He's told them a lot of things. He sent them out compromised way, that their faith might be strengthened. Pardon me. There's going to come a time that he's going to send them forth. He's going to ascend up to heaven, and he's going to tell them, take all your stuff with you. Because do you remember when you didn't take anything with you? Didn't I take care of you then? Well, take your stuff with you now, but don't forget that. Okay? And so this is part of their training. And then listen, I love this. This is just a blessing. He's talking about, he's talked to them about the Father's care for them. He's talked to them about the sword that he brings, a division that the Lord Jesus brings, even in the midst of a family between parents and children. And he's talking about who's worthy of him. Those that don't love him first are not worthy of him. Verse 37. And then he that taketh not his cross, verse 38, and follow after me is not worthy of me. And it's not talking about two timbers put in the shape of lowercase t. It's talking about a burden for the sake of the Lord. A two timbers or a timber, a tree was used to crucify the Lord, but that's not the point. It's the Lord and what he did is the point. And so he goes on here in verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So if they receive you, they receive me, the Son, and they receive the Father. Because I'm received of the Father. And if I'm received because they receive, I tell you what a connection to the Lord. Amen. I mean, we're right there. Don't receive us, carrying forth the word of the Lord. They are rejecting the Lord. They're rejecting the Father. Listen to that. We need to not be high-minded about that, but we need to be encouraged and at ease and assured in that. Okay? And the work that the Lord's called us to do here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Listen, verse 41. I love this. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We have the at meeting time, at conference time, and the different ones will have want to have sign up to have the brother and his family into their home for a meal. I tell you what, the Lord has made it to where somebody that is not a minister or a pastor can receive a minister or pastor's reward. That's the way the Lord does it. He is liberal with reward. That's the reason we need to be a liberal people too. I'm not talking about liberal in what we believe, but liberal in our giving, even unto giving of self. I ask this question from time to time. Are we givers of ourself in the church, or are we just takers? Do we just take and we just need? You know, sometimes we need. Me and my mother and my father, we had need this weekend. We're going to need some more. We need your prayers, need your support. I need the help of my brethren to cover my responsibility here at the church on Sunday. We have need. We all are going to have need at some time. But we all need to give too. We need to give when we can give. You know, because one day it'll come a time that, like it is with our elderly physically, they just can't give anymore. You know what? They wish that they could. And you and I who are younger and able to give, we need to give while we can. Because it'll come a time that we won't be able to give. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about service, what we're talking about on Sunday morning. We need to give while we can give, while it's daytime, because there's going to come a time, if the Lord doesn't come back, he delays his coming. He's going to come on time. You understand what I mean? If the time is later, the nearer. We don't know when it's going to be. But we're heading every day, each and every one of us, we're heading to the day of regret. when I wish I would have given more. I wish I would have given more. So let's give. Let's give. He says here, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet, and we don't have prophets today to give the word of the word of God going forward. We have the scripture. The only way that we prophesy today is reiterating what has been prophesied, what has been given unto us, shall receive a prophet's reward. So the prophet's going to get a reward for his obedience, and the one that receives him gets that reward too. Isn't that something, how one brother that can go around and preach all about and be received by churches and brothers and sisters into their homes and all that, all over the country, all over the world. And there he is. He's going to get his reward. And then all those that are receiving him and helping him on his way and being hospitable in that, and missionaries and all that kind of thing, evangelists, all that kind of different thing, the Lord's keeping track of every bit of that. And you know, all of his reward that he has in him obeying the Lord is going to be received by others that have received him. And there's nothing that's out of the way about that. That's just the generosity and bountifulness of the Lord. May the Lord help us to get a hold of that. May it is honoring to the Lord, and it is a beautiful thing when the Lord's people are hospitable. We need to be. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. Now this may not be a minister. This may be an obedient child of God to come over and help, to hear, to fellowship with, shall receive a righteous man's reward. And verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. I believe that Christ died for me. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There'll not be a loss of reward. There'll be a gain of reward in the economy of our Lord. He's bountifully, just above measure, gracious and bountiful and his reward and giving unto us. The child of God that lands in glory with the least amount of rewards is going to be ecstatic, because the price on it will be without measure. But why go into glory so as yet by fire? Amen. We've got a responsibility, and we've got a privilege to be obedient unto our Lord. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of disciples, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Oh, man, what a blessing the Lord's way is. Matthew chapter 16, we finish up with this gospel and the content that is there. There's much here in the gospel of Matthew. It's interesting how that is in this gospel, more made mention. There's parallels. We've looked in Luke. There's parallel to what we just talked about there in Matthew 10 and Mark chapter 9. Listen to this. In verse 21, the Lord says, the scripture says that the Lord began to show his disciples how he's going to fulfill the gospel. Go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, be killed and raised again the third day. Jesus knew he was going to die. It was no surprise. There's a cut of folks out there that say that Jesus was a good guy and a good man, good teacher, wonderful fella, and just things just kind of got haywire for him at the end. Not so. There's nothing haywire about the Lord. He didn't slip and trip and fall. He went into this face first by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter begins to take him and rebuke him and saying, Lord, no, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. This shall not be unto thee, verse 22. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Man, is that sharp? To be called the devil by the Lord Jesus? That's sharp. But you know what? It's what he needed. That's what we need when we get sideways to the will of God. He said, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. He said, you need to savor what I'm going to do, Peter. What I'm going to do is a thing, not in a sadistic way, enjoy, but oh, to be thankful that the Lord Jesus is going to do such a thing for him, for Peter, for you and me. He says, you don't savor the things of God. This is a thing of God that you should savor, son. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things, those that be of men. You've got an idea of another way, Peter, and it's foul before the Lord. And said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We've seen about that earlier. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. There's that service. There's that giving, even unto giving of self. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For or because the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so the Lord says, the Lord Jesus says, he's coming back. He's coming back to reward. He's coming back to reward his children. And he's coming back to reward sinners. He's coming back to reward the unrepentant and unbelieving. And he's coming back to reward the saints. And he is going to do it. You know what? Because on both judgments, or all four judgments, he's sitting on the throne, right? The judgment of Satan, the judgment of the angels, the judgment of the children of God, and the judgment of condemned, unbelieving, unrepentant sinners. He is the rewarder. He is the rewarder. What's it say in Romans chapter 6? I mentioned this last time. Let's go over here and read it. It's not, this is worded in the way that men talk, okay? Because in the way that men talk, we would say that lost and found. Something is lost. Something is stolen. Something is stolen from a bank. And what's a bank do? They offer a reward. At least in the movies, they offer a reward. But over there, there's rewards that are offered for bank heists and things like that. And what somebody has to do that, to find that, to get that back, to get that retrieved, they have to go to work to seek it out. And it's right for them to receive a cut of what they find, they go out there and do and find and bring back. So hire and reward are kind of synonymous terms, can be synonymous terms. They're the same. They're synonyms of one another. Well, here, what is promised to the unbelieving is not so much mentioned as a reward here, but it's talking about a wage. We understand about a wage. You work for a wage. And what's it say here? Very plainly in Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death. The payday. And you know what? You know who administers that death? The life of the body is in God's hands. And the life of the soul is in the Lord Jesus' hands. He says, don't fear the one that after he's killed the body, there's no more that he can do. He says, I tell you who to fear. Fear him that after he's killed the body, can kill the soul in hell. I say unto you, fear him. For the wages of sin, the payday, the reward of sin is death. But listen to this blessing, the gift of God, the free gift, not a wage, not a reward, but a blessing indeed, a free gift, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life given by the Lord to a sinner, undeserving and unable to meet any expectation, any payment for sin, any offering to God that would even come close to begin to make their transgression right. The gift of salvation is the beginning of rewards and the possibility of rewards without measure, without number, without being able to list them or tell them. The bountifulness of our Lord, starting off with eternal life. How do you put a price on eternal life? Amen. Oh, me. Rewards. There is a reward, and our reward is with the Lord. Lord willing, next time we're going to go over here into the Gospel of Luke and take a look again. And in recent times I've made mention of this passage, and we'll take a look at it again and a reference that is there to those that the Lord explains about facets of the kingdom regarding those that he gives pounds unto. And what he tells us to do, what he tells us to do with what he gives us, and what the result of that is. It's always been an interesting passage to me.